Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is, a free, daily, 30-minute program designed to help you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz at the Voice of America's Learning English branch in Washington. It's Thursday, November 26th, 2015, Thanksgiving Day. It was on this day in 2000 that George W. Bush was named the winner of the state of Florida's electoral votes. That meant he won the presidential election, but in the Electoral College, Al Gore won the popular vote. Today on the program, we'll tell you about Thanksgiving Day. A lot of people are eating a big meal, watching football games, and getting ready to start their Christmas shopping. In the past few years, stores have begun opening on Thanksgiving Day, rather than the day after, which we in the United States call Black Friday. Then, as we always do on Thursdays, we will bring you the Education Report. This week, we report on the growing power of student athletes to demand changes in their relationship with the colleges they attend. And as we do every weekday, we will present the making of a nation. Today, we will tell you more about America's Civil War in the 1860s. We will tell you about General Robert E. Lee's campaign north to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. So you can see, as always, we have a lot for you today. Every day here on As It Is, we bring you news from and about America and the world. And we tell you the often surprising and always interesting history of the United States. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America. Americans are celebrating Thanksgiving by eating, serving, and now, more than ever, shopping. Thanksgiving traditions have changed over time, but more and more, one of those traditions is doing Christmas shopping beginning on Thanksgiving Day itself. Now, here to tell us more about Thanksgiving are Steve Ember and Kelly Jean Kelly.
Imagine the smell of sliced apples and spices like cinnamon and ginger, all mixed together and baked. Then let everything cool down and add a little sugar on top. For many Americans, that smell, the smell of apple pie, is a favorite part of Thanksgiving Day. Today we report on the history of the holiday and how Americans are celebrating this year.
The writer O. Henry called Thanksgiving the one day that is purely American. Thanksgiving is not a religious holiday, but it has spiritual meaning. Some Americans attend religious services on the day before Thanksgiving or on Thanksgiving morning. Others travel great distances to be with their families. They have a large dinner, which is the main part of the celebration. For many Americans, Thanksgiving is the only time when all members of a family gather together. The holiday is a time of family reunion.
Thanksgiving is celebrated every year on the fourth Thursday of November. The month of November is autumn in the United States. Autumn is the season when crops are gathered. When the first European settlers in America gathered their crops, they celebrated and gave thanks for the food. They thanked God for the success of the harvest. More than any other American holiday, Thanksgiving celebrates family and home. On Thanksgiving, many people enjoy a long day of cooking, talking, and eating. The traditional meal often includes a turkey with a bread mixture cooked inside.
Other foods commonly served on Thanksgiving are sweet potatoes, cranberries, and pumpkin pie. American supermarkets are reported to sell more food at Thanksgiving than at any other time of the year. And many people eat more food at Thanksgiving than at any other time of the year.
Thanksgiving is also a time when Americans share what they have with people who do not have as much. All across the country, thousands of groups provide Thanksgiving meals for older adults, poor people, and the homeless. Many Americans give turkeys or other food to these organizations. Schools organize food collection drives for Thanksgiving. Some people spend part of the holiday helping to prepare and serve meals.
Because so many people visit their families over the holiday, Thanksgiving week is one of the busiest travel times of the year.
Other Americans enjoy watching football games on Thanksgiving Day. Some of the games are broadcast on national television. Many people also like to watch Thanksgiving Day parades on television. Big stores in several cities organize these events.
Historically, stores have been closed on the holiday. Most people spent the day with their families or friends. Then many went to stores and shopping malls the following day. In fact, the day after Thanksgiving is one of the biggest shopping days of the year. The Friday after Thanksgiving is often called Black Friday. The word black is used to describe the profit many stores make on that day. In comparison, a business loss is often written in red. Many stores reduce prices on Black Friday in an effort to increase business. Some businesses make 20 to 40% of their yearly earnings between Thanksgiving and December 25th. Christmas Day.
One Thanksgiving tradition still remains for many families. People join in prayers and songs of Thanksgiving. One famous song tells of the traditional meaning of Thanksgiving. We gather with our family, we share what we have, and we give thanks for the good things of the past year. We leave you with the Boston Pops Orchestra and Chorus performing Prayer of Thanksgiving.
That's our program for today. We hope it has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz. reporting from the VOA Learning English headquarters in Washington. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time on Black Friday with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from the Voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
For VOA Learning English, this is the Education Report.
Several weeks of student protest and a 6-day hunger strike over the handling of racial tension on a college campus resulted in nothing. Last weekend, a group of black football players at the University of Missouri joined the protest. The student athletes tweeted that they would not play until the university's president resigns. Tim Wolf, the president of the University of Missouri, quit the next day. The student athletes' action is part of a growing movement around the U.S. Student athletes increasingly find they have the power to demand changes in their relationship to their schools. College football players often get scholarships and some benefits, like health insurance, from their schools. At one time, many thought that they received a free education in exchange for playing a game. The National Collegiate Athletic Association, or NCAA, controls college sports. NCAA rules say the time spent on sports should not be more than 20 hours a week. But many spend more time on sports than on studying. Kane Coulter was a football player at Northwestern University. He said playing college football takes up 50 hours a week or more. The principle of amateurism in college sports says student athletes are amateurs. They cannot earn money to play the game like professional athletes do. Yet across the U.S., schools with large sports programs earn huge amounts of money with their athletic programs. The NCAA itself earned $10.8 billion in 2013 for broadcast rights of college games. Stanford University economic professor Roger Knoll writes about the economics of college sports. He says that college coaches receive the money that in professional sports
would have been paid to the players. If we go back to 2000, it was unusual to have any coach make more than $1 million a year. Now we have a whole bunch of them making $5 million.
In 2013, football players from Northwestern University tried to start a union. The National Labor Relations Board, NLRB, said in August that it cannot decide to accept the union. Some of the student athletes' demands have brought small changes to the system. Starting this year, a school can give a small amount of money to student athletes to help pay their cost of attendance. ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis says players will have to go on strike or refuse to play to get what they want. Last week, the Missouri University Tigers football players did just that. They threatened to stay away from the game on November 14th. If they did not play, the University of Missouri would have lost $1 million. I'm Jill Robbins.
Thank you.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. America's Civil War in the 1860s did not have the full support of the people. Many said they did not care who won, North or South. They just wanted to be left alone. In the North, many young men refused to be drafted into the Union Army. Some of their protests turned violent. Southern leaders were pleased with the anti-war movement in the North. Confederate General Robert E. Lee saw it as a sign of weakness in the Northern war effort. He also saw it as an opening for a military victory. Lee hoped for a final, decisive blow that would bring the war to an end. This week in our series, Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe talk about General Lee's campaign north to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Gettysburg was a small town. Many roads came together there. Robert E. Lee needed those roads to pull his army together quickly. He had 70,000 men in all, but they were spread over a wide area of southern Pennsylvania. Some were at York to the east, some were at Carlisle to the north, and most were at Chambersburg to the west. All of them were ordered to move against the Union force at Gettysburg. General Robert E. Lee had not planned to go to Gettysburg. He had planned to capture Harrisburg, the state capital, and then Philadelphia. If successful, he would turn south to seize Baltimore and Washington. Lee had not worried about the large Union Army of the Potomac. He believed it was far behind him in Virginia. But Lee was wrong. The Union Army had followed him, and it had reached Gettysburg first.
The first group of Northern soldiers formed a thin line of defense outside Gettysburg. The first group of Southern soldiers attacked this line. It was the morning of July 1st, 1863. When the guns began to roar, both sides hurried more men to the front. After hours of fighting, the Confederates had pushed the Union soldiers back through the town. The Union soldiers formed a new line along a place called Cemetery Hill. General Robert E. Lee decided not to attack the hill immediately. He would wait for more men. But as he waited, more and more Union soldiers arrived. By sunrise the next day, Lee's 70,000 men faced a Union army of 90,000 men.
The Confederates attacked both sides of the Union line. They moved the Union soldiers a little, but then the Union soldiers came back again. The Confederates could not hold the line. The fighting stopped at sunset. Union Commander George Meade met with his generals. He said he was sure General Lee would attack again the next day. The next attack, Meade said, would be against the center of the Union line. Meade was right. Lee planned to send 15,000 men against the Union center. They would be under the command of General George Pickett.
When the sun rose on July 3rd, the Union troops were ready. They watched as the Confederate troops set up their cannon. More than 130 of these big guns were aimed at the center of the Union line. The morning passed. The day grew hotter. A little past 1 o'clock in the afternoon, a Confederate gun fired once, then again. That was the signal to attack. All at once, the Confederate artillery thundered with a deafening roar. The cannon sent iron and smoke into the Union soldiers on Cemetery Hill. Within minutes, hundreds lay dead or dying. Union artillery on the hill answered the Confederate cannon. Men lay flat on the ground. They prayed for the shelling to stop. Finally, it did, and the smoke of battle began to clear.
Now the Union soldiers could see across the valley. They watched as the Confederate soldiers formed a long line. It was a sight to take your breath away. Facing Cemetery Hill, the Confederates stood shoulder to shoulder in a line almost 2 kilometers long. Sunlight shone from their guns. Their battle flags waved. Slowly, the line began to move. It seemed more like a parade than an attack. Shouts went up and down the Union line. Here they come. Here come the rebels.
Thousands of Confederate soldiers moved across the valley outside Gettysburg. Union artillery opened fire. The guns tore open big holes in the Confederate battle line. But the Southerners kept moving forward up the hill. Union soldiers rose up from behind stone walls and fallen trees. They poured even more gunfire into the Confederate line. More and more bodies fell to the ground. Still, the line moved forward. A few Confederates reached the Union line, but not enough to seize it. They were shot down. Suddenly, the Confederates began racing down the hill. Many raised their hands in surrender. 15,000 began the attack. Only half returned. The Battle of Gettysburg was over. The Union commander, General Meade, was told that the Confederate attack had been broken. He said simply, "Thank God." The Confederate commander, General Lee, said, "This has been a sad day for us. A sad day."
Lee's invasion of the North had failed. There was only one thing he could do now, retreat. He must get his army back to Virginia. He could only hope that the Union army was hurt too badly to chase him. The line of wagons carrying wounded soldiers was 25 kilometers long. Many of the wounded needed treatment, but the wagons were not permitted to stop for any reason. Suffering was terrible. An officer who led the wagon train said he learned more about the horrors of war on that one trip than he had learned in all of his battles. 20,000 Confederate soldiers were killed, wounded, or listed as missing in the Battle of Gettysburg. 23,000 Union soldiers were killed, wounded, or missing.
General Meade lost so many men that he was in no hurry to chase General Lee. He believed it might be best to let Lee escape than to take a chance on losing what remained of the Army of the Potomac. Meade waited for a week until his army was stronger. But by then, Lee and his men had crossed safely back into Virginia. President Abraham Lincoln was angry. He had told General Meade that driving the Confederates out of the North was not enough. The Southern Army must be destroyed. "We had them," Lincoln said. "We had only to stretch out our hands and take them. And nothing I could do or say could make the army move."
President Lincoln believed that General Meade had made a mistake, but he felt that the general had ability. Lincoln was thankful for what Meade had done at Gettysburg. He said Meade would continue to command the Army of the Potomac. In November of 1863, President Lincoln went to Gettysburg. He attended the opening of a new burial place for the Union soldiers who had died in the great battle there.
The governor of Pennsylvania had asked the president to say a few words at the ceremony. Lincoln agreed. He felt it was his duty to go, to honor the brave men who lost their lives to save the Union. Lincoln hoped his words might help lift the spirit of the nation. Lincoln did not have much time to prepare his speech. He wrote it down the night before the ceremony. Lincoln was sure the speech was not a good one, but it came to be one of the most famous speeches in American history. We will tell the story of Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address next week.
Our program was written by Frank Beardsley. The narrators were Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe. Transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of our programs are online, along with historical images, at voaspecialenglish.com. And you can follow our weekly programs on Twitter at VOA Learning English. Join us again next week for The Making of a Nation, an American history series in VOA Special English.